This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In today's program, you can hear our feature, Development and the Economy, and a reflection by Father Enobong Udiadiong. First, however, our bulletin of church news, followed by Africa News Panorama. I am Festus Tarawali. Pope Francis marked World Press Freedom Day on Friday the 3rd of May with a post on X, formerly Twitter, writing through his @pontifex handle. The Pope said press freedom is essential for developing a sound critical sense and for learning to distinguish truth from falsehood. It helps us work for justice, peace and respect for creation while shunning ideologies, the Pope tweeted. A report released by the UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, said 70% of environmental journalists from 129 countries surveyed in March reported experiencing attacks, threats or pressure related to their job. In a statement, UNESCO Director General Audrey Azoulay said without reliable scientific information about the ongoing environmental crisis, we can never hope to overcome it. And yet, she continued, the journalists we rely on to investigate this subject and ensure information is accessible face unacceptably high risks all over the world, and climate-related disinformation is running rampant on social media, she said. In his message marking World Press Freedom Day 2024, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres also highlights this increase in violence faced by journalists covering environmental issues, which he said has made the profession increasingly dangerous. The UN chief said journalists and media workers have a key role in informing and educating the public about the world's current environmental and climate emergency, which stands as a threat to future generations. It is through this work that people can have a greater understanding of environmental factors affecting the world and advocate for change, he said. Meanwhile, all Palestinian journalists covering Israel's war on Gaza have been awarded UNESCO's 2024 World Press Freedom Prize. The Paris-based agency said it was a tribute to the courage of journalists facing difficult and dangerous conditions. More than 100 journalists have been killed during the war, which broke out in October. Here in the Vatican on Friday morning, Pope Francis received in audience members of the Blanquerna Foundation from Barcelona, Spain, a group committed to the integral education of the human person. In his address, the Pope urged Catholic universities to provide education that helps people form their minds and hearts. Devin Watkins has this report.
¿Cuánto dolor y frustración producen ahora en la actualidad?
How much pain and frustration are produced by the unattainable stereotypes that markets and pressure groups try to impose on us? Pope Francis offered that analysis of modern life on Friday as he met with members of the Blanquerna Foundation at the Roman Llull University in the Spanish city of Barcelona. In his address, the Pope noted that the foundation's name, Blanquerna, was drawn from a literary character created by Blessed Ramon Llull, a 13th and 14th century philosopher and theologian. Blessed Ramon Llull employed the character to give a precise description of his time, said the Pope, adding that his pedagogy continues to uphold a model of Christian life. The Holy Father said Blessed Llull moved away from the fantastic heroes who seek to evade our reality and instead proposed simple and natural life models in which one can serve the Lord and be happy. Pope Francis noted that young people today, as in the 13th century, must overcome many obstacles to discover God's plan for them. The life of a Christian hero, he said, is not marked by careerism, but is a response to a call. The Pope invited university professors to help students realize that even when they have achieved their goals, they must still strive for an encounter with the Lord and dedicate themselves fully to the service of God. He urged the Blanquerna Foundation to educate with a contemporary and agile pedagogical language based on the precise analysis of reality. However, added the Pope, education must always bear in mind that we form full men and women, not illusory replicas of impossible ideals.
Que formamos hombres y mujeres cabales.
The goal of education, said the Pope, is to form holistic people who try to give the best of themselves in the service to which God calls them. In conclusion, Pope Francis expressed his hope that Catholic universities illuminate the lives of their students with the presence of Jesus. I'm Devin Watkins.
Also, on Friday morning in the Paul VI Hall, the Holy Father received in audience the members of Italy's National Confederation of Vocational Training and Professional Updating, or CONFAP, on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of its founding. In his address, the Pope encouraged the Italian Catholic Network to focus its attention on young people from disadvantaged backgrounds who are marginalized by the job market and feel rejected by society. Lisa Zangarini reports.
In his address, Pope Francis warmly thanked the vocational training agencies for their work, which, inspired by the social doctrine of the Church, he said, provides a vital service to society, not only because they offer state-of-the-art courses, but most importantly because they reserve a special attention to marginalized young people. The Pope noted that young people are particularly vulnerable in the work market today. In the face of this situation, he stressed the need of an adequate labour legislation, but also to build a generational turnover where adults share the dreams and desires of young people and encourage them without judging them. The Pope urged the CONSAP agencies to focus their attention in particular on young people from disadvantaged backgrounds who often feel rejected by society. Pope Francis then reflected on their mission of training, which he noted is all the more important today in an ever-changing work landscape due to the new technologies and artificial intelligence. In this regard, the Pope warned against the opposite temptations of technophobia and technocracy. The only answer to this challenge, he said, is creative and always updated training. He added that we must also commit to restoring dignity to some jobs, especially manual ones.
Una valida formazione professionale è un antidoto alla dispersione scolastica.
Valid professional training is an antidote to school dropout and a response to the demand for work in different sectors of the economy, the Pope insisted. Concluding, Pope Francis reflected on their work of qualifying young people for a profession, which he recalled is what defines us as people. As we witness a degradation of the true meaning of work, he stressed the importance of training courses that are at the service of the overall growth of the human person in all his dimensions. I am Lisa Zangarini.
In more news from the Vatican, Pope Francis has appointed Bishop Simeon Ekezuo Nwobi as Bishop of Ahiara Diocese in Nigeria. The member of the Congregation of the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, also known as Declarations, was appointed Auxiliary Bishop of the Apostolic Administrator of the same diocese in October last year and assigned the titular see of Bishop of Rusguinye. He received his episcopal ordination on the 19th of December last year to assist Archbishop Lucius Ugorji of Owerri Archdiocese in the governance of Ahiara Diocese, which became vacant in February 2018. Bishop Nwobi was born on the 25th of March 1960 in Eziama Oparadim, Ekweriazu, in the Diocese of Ahiara. He was ordained a priest in July 1990 for his congregation after completing his studies in philosophy at the Claretian Institute of Philosophy, Maryland, and Deke, and theology at the Bingard Memorial Seminary in Enugu, also in Nigeria. After obtaining a postgraduate diploma in public administration from the Enugu State University of Science and Technology, he was awarded a licentiate in missiology from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome and a master of public administration from the National Open University of Nigeria. The new bishop of Ahiara has held several positions since his ordination to the priesthood, including as parish priest of St. Anthony in Igbo, Ora, Boza at the Claretian Theology School in Enugu, director of the Department of Spirituality at the Claretian Institute of Philosophy, Maryland, and Deke, and professor at the Bingard Memorial Seminary of Enugu. Bishop Nwobi also served as prefect of the apostolate a Declaration Provincial Courier of New Owerri and Parish Priest of St. Paul in Ndeke between 2005 and 2010. He was also Provincial of the East Province of his congregation for 12 years from 2010 to 2022. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Russian military personnel have entered an air base in Niger that has been hosting U.S. troops. The move follows a decision by Niger's military leaders to expel U.S. forces who have been based in the country. There are about 1,000 military personnel in Niger that have to leave. A senior U.S. defense personnel has said that Russian forces were not mingling with U.S. troops, but were using a separate hangar at an air base. The Americans are reportedly concerned about the fate of U.S. installations in the country following the forced withdrawal that they now have to make. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has played down any risk to American troops or that the Russian troops might get close to U.S. military hardware. The U.S. and its allies have been forced to move troops out of a number of African countries following military coups that have brought to power young African leaders who are not too keen on relations with Western governments. Leaders of a militia in Ethiopia's Amhara region have accused the administration in neighboring Tigray of provocation and wanting to start a new civil war. This follows demands for the return of hundreds of thousands of Tigrayans back to territory that Amharan fighters captured during the 2020 to 2022 civil war in Ethiopia. The future of the disputed Tigrayan territories in North Ethiopia has remained a flashpoint between Tigray and Amhara since the end of the civil war. During the civil war, Amhara militia fought alongside the federal government of Ethiopia against Tigray rebels. As the war raged on, hundreds of thousands of ethnic Tigrayans fled and the Amharan fighters set up their own government administration in areas previously occupied by the Tigrayans. The vice president of Tigray's interim administration, General Tedese Orede, said on Wednesday that the Tigrayan officials had agreed with the federal government of Ethiopia to finalize plans to return the displaced Tigrayans by June the 7th this year. Amhara nationalists say that they have a historical right to the land, and the federal government spokesperson did not respond to a request for a comment over the remarks from the Tigray's interim authorities. The Republic of Chad will host presidential elections next week on Monday. The military government's incumbent candidate is widely expected to win the elections. Mahamat Idris Deby, the man who seized power the day that rebels shot and killed his long-term ruling father, Idris Deby, in 2021, is the government's candidate. Some critics say that the poll in Chad is a facade to legitimize Deby's rule and will not reflect the wishes of the voters. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Sister Oluwakemi Akinleye. And this month of May, the global community is celebrating the life of the worker. And this week's edition of our program on development, we join in this celebration talking about upholding the dignity of workers and the importance of eradicating child labor. To discuss this, we have with us a senior advocate of Nigeria, Sir Steve Ade. Sir Steve, you are welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a lawyer. I've been practicing practicing law for 37 years. I'm a senior advocate of Nigeria. I am currently the chairman of the Employment Bureau of the Nigerian Bar Association. I'm also chair of the MBA section on public interest and development law. And I'm the president of the Paper Knights in Nigeria.
As we celebrate workers all over the world, we hear some of them complaining that they are given short-term contracts or endless probations. As a lawyer, a senior advocate of Nigeria, you are a worker yourself, you are an employer. What do you have to say about this?
Generally speaking, an employer can employ an employee and place him on probation. And that is because he needs to be sure of the competencies which the employee is bringing on. And the period of probation usually should be a short period of between 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year. But like you said, most people abuse that. And then this is because largely those people who come to seek employment are desperate. So they go into this employment without even looking at the terms governing the employment. So I think that from the onset, the parties should have determined what the period of probation should be. And then if the employer is not satisfied and needs more time to study the person, it gives another period of probation, but it shouldn't be an endless exercise. But then the law also tries to take care of the interest of the employee. If there's a period of probation, for instance, 6 months, and if the 6 months passes by, the employer doesn't say anything, it is assumed that he's satisfied with the conduct or the competencies of the employee, and it is therefore assumed that he has automatically been given full employment.
But does this hold even when there's no signed contract?
When there's no contract, for instance, now, like I said, it's out of desperation of those seeking employment. I should think that anybody seeking employment, yes, once you find one, you should be able to sit down and know the terms upon which you are going into that employment. But if you do not do that, it puts you at a disadvantage. And that is why you have these things occurring endlessly, where people just walk in. And then the employer will tell you that, you know, the employment is at his pleasure. If he's satisfied, he can just get up and say what he owes you is 1 month's salary in lieu of notice. I think that's basically what happens. But where there's no specific contract, even that issue of 1 month notice does not even arise. It is assumed that, look, you're just a casual worker. Your employment can be terminated at any time. But by and large, most people have looked negatively at this issue of employers taking on workers without regularizing the terms and conditions that should regulate that employment. It's exploitative because you know this person is desperate and that is why you are doing what you are doing. I think we need to have firm legislations on the issue of probationary period. I would suggest something that the probationary period should not be more than 6 months. And after that 6 months, you have not made up your mind about the employee. Maybe you place him on further probation of 3 months. But after that 3 months, you have to tell him once and for all whether you want to confirm his employment or you want to employ him. So workers should actually try and look out for themselves too.
Thank you, Sir Steve Adey, for helping us see that it is necessary that all workers should have signed contracts before they take up any employment, whether for short-term or long-term. Now, there's also the issue of child labor, where we have children between the ages of 6 and 12 on the streets selling different items to help raise money for their families. Sometimes these children are also sales assistants in some shops and they work too late. How shall we protect children from such forms of abuse?
Well, child labor is recognized as the worst form of abuse and exploitation of children. The Convention on Rights of Child urges governments to take effective measures to eradicate this practice. In the African culture, in some parts of the country, you find this apprenticeship process which some people go through. And because it has worked out for a lot of them, it is difficult for you to their parents not to subject them, their children, to that same process. What these people do basically is to go to the villages and take on some children who understudied their business and help them during the course of their business. And at the end, they establish them. They give them something to start their own business. So, because it's a practice that is there, it's very common in a lot of African culture. And then you find some religions also have that system where, of course, not Christianity, but that system whereby children come from religious education and in the process, they are supposed to cater for themselves and he sends them on the street trying to find, get something, how to survive. So a practice that has been in Africa for long, and it's one that will be very difficult to eradicate, despite efforts made by government. In Nigeria, for instance, we have the Child Rights Act, which protects the rights of children and makes it very clear that it's not lawful for children to do any kind of heavy labor, apart from maybe just giving domestic help in the house and all that. But it's an offense to do that. But it still has not eradicated that practice. The National Agency in Charge of Trafficking of Children, I think NACTE, has also made a lot of effort towards eradicating this practice. It has also not succeeded fully in doing that. So a lot of effort is being made because everyone has realized that that practice is not in the interest of the child. It limits the child's opportunity in life in the sense that the child is not exposed to education and to good ways of living. But because of the culture and the benefit which some people who have gone through that process have derived, some parents still see it as a way out of their poverty situation. I think that the bottom line is the poverty level in Africa. That is what is encouraging these practices mostly.
So we hope that as people are listening to us, they'll also realize that child labor is not encouraged in any way.
Not encouraged
because we want to protect our children. We are very thankful to you, Sir Steve Adey, for being with us on the program today. Thank you for helping us see that all workers have rights and obligations. And whatever task we are assigned to do, it is always good to do it with the best of our ability. And also to uphold the value of the protection of children, because child labor should be eradicated. Thank you all for listening. I am Sister Oluwakemi Akinleye.
Coming up next, a reflection on this Sunday's readings, prepared and presented by Father Enobong Udaidyong.
Jesus, in the Gospel reading of this Sunday, says to his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." The Lord went on to say that it is by keeping his commandments that we will abide in his love. God, in the fullness of time, revealed himself to us as love. The good news preached by Christ has always been about God's love for us, and he commanded his disciples to continue with this. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but may have eternal life." It is this love that made Christ to give himself for our salvation. He says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And so he commands his disciples to love one another, for this is the greatest commandment. The commandment of love is rooted in the very essence of God. St. John in the second reading puts it thus, "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." We partake in the love of God when we love one another. It means then that we cannot claim to know God if we do not love one another. Loving one another is possible when we keep the commandments of God. In the first reading, Peter, who was a Jew, would not have been well disposed to visit a pagan, Cornelius. But having been born anew in Christ Jesus and realizing that in Christ Jesus there is no Jew or Greek, he went to Cornelius' house at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. There he also realized that God has no favorite. Anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He has revealed his salvation to the nations, and no one is excluded from his merciful love. Have you ever thought of the immense benefit if we all were to drop our differences and strive to spread love as taught by Christ Jesus? In the course of his earthly ministry, Jesus associated with everyone, rich and poor, old and young. He ministered to all and brought the good news to all. He commissioned his disciples to preach the good news to all. to accomplish this mission, he promised the Holy Spirit. Loving one another will promote peaceful coexistence, and we know our society is in dire need of peace. We cannot do it without the Spirit of God. The crisis in families, the violence and wars in different parts of the world today are as a result of lack of love. When we do not promote love and respect for one another, the tendency is that at the slightest provocation, we give in to anger, resentment, and violence. Jesus did tell his disciples that it is by loving one another that people will know that you are my disciples. By choosing us to be his friends, Jesus expects us to bear the fruit of the relationship we have with him, a relationship that transcends our differences, language, color, race, and nation, a relationship that makes us do what is right, irrespective of who we are dealing with. We see in every person the dignity of God's children. Anyone who fears God and does what is right, Peter says, is acceptable to God. As we await, therefore, the coming of the Holy Spirit, we need to free ourselves from hatred, anger, and other vices that hinder us from abiding in the love of God. This is the moment to ponder and ask God for the grace to prepare well for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to renew our lives. He comes to accompany us in our struggle. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in us the fire of your love. The Christian heart is enkindled by the Holy Spirit who reveals who God is and also help us abide in his love. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
And that was a reflection by Father Enobong Udiadiong. You are tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.